Election 2016.
Hello and welcome to the next of our Round the Table election debates, part of Manx Radio's extensive election 2016 coverage. Today we're talking to the candidates standing in Onchan, interestingly an area where people have until this year had three votes, they will now just have two in line with the other 11 constituencies around the island. Once again we'll look at the issues on both a local and national level that the five hopefuls here believe are the most important to convince you to vote for them. And the five candidates are business owner Anthony Allen, client manager Rob Callister, local government officer Tim Craig, school business manager and Liberal Vannon candidate Julie Edge, and retiring member seeking re-election David Quirk. In just a moment, we will hear from each of them in turn. They'll have around 90 seconds to talk about whatever they wish. But first, John Moss takes a look at the makeup of this new Onchan constituency.
Onchan. This is a constituency with a strapline just waiting to be exploited. Onchan can. No. Onchan can. No. Let's move on. There is and will be change in Onchan can come the election. That comes with two of the previous three members stepping away from politics. But the look of the constituency has changed, with a substantial slither of some 2,000 residents wafting into Garth. Some, it seems, unaware of their new situation. Do they speak Garth? Will they have to learn it? The patron saint of the parish is St. Christopher, which in Gaelic is Conchan, or dog's head or wolf's head. So Onchan started life as Kirk Conchan. Cunachan was a bishop of Sodran Man. There we have it, clear as. But Onchan, or Onchan, as some visitors would have it, was also Kindrogat, or Bridge End. It was once part of the Middle constituency. The small original community started off in the Butt, below the church, and sort of spread. In the 1890s, a 5,000-year-old Stone Age axe was found by the Onchan wetlands. This must have been the famous axe, which locals have to grind about a number of things. In 1986, Onchan was made into a constituency in its own right. Onchan has a short coast running from just before Port Jack around to just before the Majestic, where it dives inland to the White Bridge, arriving at the top wheezing slightly, before heading along Little Mill Road, ending up where Johnny Watterson's Lane, Johnny Watterson, the famous highwayman, only joking, Peter Kelly, where his lane joins the TT course. Then it wanders along the top of Douglas North and Douglas East before diving joyfully into the sea. Onchan had the first electrically lit lamp standard on the island. It tried to attract tourism by building, in Victoria's day, hotels and boarding houses. It has an outdoor arena opened by Reg Harris, a great cyclist of renown, and it has a park. Molly Quirk's Glen was named, so it's claimed, after a woman murdered for the money she kept under her mattress. It has the governor just inside its boundary at Bemahague, a newly installed governor. But Onchan is in the main about its people, about where they live, how they live, their standard of living, and their relationship now not just with their larger, in terms of population, neighbour to the south, but now their northern neighbour as well. Right, stand back. Let the fur fly.
John Moss. So then, let's meet the five candidates. As I've mentioned, in turn, each will now have up to 90 seconds to speak about whatever they wish. We shall hear from them in alphabetical order, so start with Anthony Allen.
Good evening. My name is Anthony Allen, and I'm standing to be one of the two new MHKs for Onchan. I live in Onchan, married to Joanna, and we have three children. A former director of Laxey Flour Mill and a director of Isle of Man Agricultural Marketing Society, working with government departments at a national level since 2012. I've been in business, run businesses and understand business. Experience includes working with large multinational businesses, medium and small, owner-managed successful businesses in Europe, England and the Isle of Man. The skills I bring include management of people, the ability to analyse complex problems and make sound decisions based on good judgment. I bring the common sense that is needed in government and the wherewithal to get the job done. I will always ask questions to get the best outcome for the people of Onchan and the Isle of Man. My pledge is always to be accessible, listen to the people and act in their best interests at all times. If elected on the 22nd of September, there will be no hiding behind civil servants. Decisions will be made, projects will start and be finished without expensive off-island consultancy fees. If you want an MHK who knows business, understands business and means business, vote Allen on the 22nd of September.
Anthony Allen, thank you. Now, Rob Callister.
Good evening, Beth. The Isle of Man has faced many challenges over the last 30 years, and the list of challenges facing the next government continues to grow. That said, there is simply no excuse for the lack of communication, vision, scrutiny and engagement shown by those elected to represent our best interests over the last 5 years. As this island continues to face the challenges and adapts to the circumstances, we will certainly need a new generation of MHKs with the leadership, vision, passion, motivation and communication skills to fully engage with all sections of Onken's community, but more importantly, who hold the relevant business skills and life experience to ensure that the right decisions are being made on behalf of this, our village, and behalf of this island. We need MHKs who will re-establish a level of trust, confidence, engagement and accountability with the people of this island and fight with a strong voice for Onken to work tirelessly to ensure that the most vulnerable in our community are protected, the elderly are provided for, and investment in our youth and school leavers creates genuine opportunities for them to make a positive contribution to the Manx economy in the future. I believe I have the qualities to be such an MHK for a changing island. Thank you.
Rob Callister, thank you. Now, Tim Craig.
Good evening, Beth. Good evening, everyone. I'm currently the Deputy Clerk at Onken District Commissioners, and the reason I'm standing for Tynwald now is that I believe that there's change required in the membership of Tynwald. As John said in the intro, Onken provides a brilliant local authority service, and I've seen that develop over the last 10 years. Now, what I'm looking for is strengthened local authorities throughout the Isle of Man so they can take on proper and accountable services from central government, because I really want to stop the empire building, as I've seen in the last 10 years, from government departments trying to take on additional services and deliver those services from the centre, when actually more accountability lies in the local authority areas. In my day-to-day work as the housing manager of Onken District Commissioners, I see the struggles that people are going through in order to try and make ends meet at the end of the week. I see the problems they're having in trying to meet the gas bills. I see the difficulties they're having in it, even trying to feed their children. So I want to work to help those people get more for less out of their benefits and services. Now, I've just touched on something else, the squeezed middle. There are those who are not in social housing, but they deserve better, and I will work for them. Thanks, Beth.
Tim Craig, thank you. Now, Liberal Vannan candidate Julie Edge.
Good evening. I've lived in Onken for 43 years and was born on the island. I've been a public servant for the majority of my varied career. If elected, I will give up my current role and I will be a full-time national politician working on behalf of my constituents. I am proud to be a public servant, but too often we get the blame for bad governance. I have gained valuable experience working in education, health, MEA, Onken commissioners and in private sector banking. My diverse skills include strategic leadership, personnel, operations, procurement, contract and budget management. I believe these skills will provide me with the experience to make a difference as an MHK. My skill set would enable me to rapidly identify and rectify issues within the current system to support a less bureaucratic government. We must have a government that is open and transparent, with MHKs leading by example and listening to the voice of the people to enable the vision and direction our island deserves. This is your chance to make a new government that works together for the well-being of the people of the people as its main objective and driving force. This can be achieved by voting for an individual who will act with integrity and work tirelessly for the Onken constituency.
Julie Edge, thank you. And finally, David Quirk.
Good evening, Beth. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Since being elected as a member of the House of Keys since 2006, it's been a privilege and honour to represent the people of Onken and the Isle of Man. I believe proportionally in protecting our island and the Manx way of life, and focus on both my local constituents and the wider government responsibilities across the island, working for the benefit of all. As an independent candidate, I believe it's the best way to help the people of the Isle of Man is fully to participate in government working together. and making an effective contribution to the island. It is very easy to get publicity by constantly criticising government policy, but I believe it's more constructive to work together proactively within government and make a positive influence from within. We don't know exactly what the full implications of the UK exit from the EU will be on the island. We need to take action now. We are taking action now to protect and prepare any eventuality, strengthening our relationship with both the UK and the Celtic nation and those countries around the world. There will be both opportunities and risks for the island, withdrawing process and the new relationship where we must set out and achieve the best deal for the island. I'm seeking your support to be re-elected so that I can continue to represent Onchan and the island in a considerable experience I've gained within government. I believe an MHK is to be approachable and available to assist.
David Quirk, thank you. So here we are then, just under a week to go. No doubt voters have been going through the campaign material that's been dropping through their doors. Fair to say, in Onchan, the manifestos range from the concise to the extremely detailed. Rob Callister, do you honestly think people are going to read all 38 pages of yours?
It's 40 pages, and I think they will read through it.
I think it's 38 pages of writing. The 40 okay. is the...
If you flick through it, what people will, I'm hoping, will do, will see what's relevant to them, and they will pick out what's right. Because, as you say, it's not 38 pages of writing. There's headlines, and there is bits that I promised to do. And this document, and it took me about 3 months to go, I didn't want to just put out a typical manifesto to say that there's something wrong with the pensions, there's something wrong with the buses. What I've actually done is I researched each of those topics. I've put together what I will actually do if I'm elected. They're not wild things. They're just very straightforward, simple things, like asking questions on the floor of Tynwald, asking the questions. Now, the locals' focus is all based on questions that have been information that's given back to me by constituents. The national things is stuff that I've seriously researched. The idea is Onchan needs a new MHK. I can go in and hit the ground running on day one.
There is an awful lot to be held account to in there, though, isn't there?
And I'm happy to be held account for 5 years. And that there, anyone should hold on to that document for 5 years, because if I'm elected, I will do everything in that document I possibly can.
OK, Tim Craig, you've opted for a more concise approach. Why?
Quite the opposite to Rob. I believe that I can say what I need to say in four sides, or two sides of A4, as it is. Everybody should get a flavour of what I feel and what I'm standing for. There are issues there that I can develop on the doorstep. I have been developing them in email correspondence with a good number of people. A lot of people have got the same query. It's always, what are we going to do when Brexit happens? We don't know, because the UK don't know yet. This is going to have to be one that we watch very closely. The other issue that we've got is, and it was one that was brought home to me time and again last weekend when I was campaigning out in Lower Onchan, it's the cost of gas and the cost of services in general. My argument is that I'm seeing an awful lot of hidden costs coming over from government, and I don't see that there's the justification or the accountability for those costs yet. That's why I'm going for a stronger local authority, better placed to deliver those cost-effective services, and better placed to be accountable to the ratepayers as they are now.
Well, we'll come to the local authority a little bit later, but Anthony Allen, again, your manifesto is shortened to the point, isn't it?
Yes, I deliberately constructed it that way in the hope that I would firstly appeal to the electorate, and secondly that it would be read and they would get a fully understanding of what I'm about. It is my style to be direct and concise, but at the same time, I hope that I've demonstrated to people that the issues that I put down are important issues. There are some issues that have been deliberately missed off my manifesto. Brexit is the obvious example. That isn't that I don't understand Brexit and I'm not aware of what's going on with Brexit. It's just that the priorities that I have are in my manifesto, and if elected, I will have a priority, and those priorities will be dealt with first.
Well, when it comes to manifesto size, I think it's fair to say, David Quirk, Julie Edge, yours are both somewhere in the middle. I'd just say generally, manifestos seem to have been put out quite late this time, and you mentioned, Rob, about talking to people on the doorstep. I guess it's an inevitable outcome of our political system where with the exception of Julie, you're all standing as independents, trying to tailor your pledges to fit in with the wants and needs of the electorate. How accurate would you say that assessment is, Julie?
I personally think that, in my manifesto, what I've tried to do is allow the people of Onchan to see what's gone wrong in the previous administration, in the hopes that they will see there's a bit of common sense and that I will, you know, be the person that could represent them. I've the majority of things that are in here have all been highlighted by the constituents, and I really feel that that's the flavour of my manifesto. I haven't covered everything, you know, like Rob. You can't cover everything, and I believe so many people are busy working hard these days. They have very limited time to read. So I've tried to make it concise and appropriate for my campaign.
David Quirk, you say in your manifesto that you're calling on as many homes as you can to answer questions, discuss the matters that are important to the people of Onchan. How many times have you been around to see your constituents in this way between your election in 2011 and now?
I see them every week, Beth. I'm actually a constituency person. I'm actually involved in the community as a whole, and have been for when I was 17 years as a local authority member. People ring me up all the time. People ring me up, actually, funny enough now, from all parts of the island.
So it's not just an election campaign?
And you will get that. No, and I've been around talking to people. They've talked to me, and I know the issues, and I know what government has provided over the last few years and what will provide in the future.
Rob Callister?
Yeah, I'm just going to add that only the local focus items are the stuff that most people have spoke to me on the door. The national issues, it's surprising how the local items have taken priority. But as we're trying to elect 24 national politicians that will serve this island, and all this stuff on the national focus, it's quite surprising. I got an email today from people saying they weren't aware of the pension crisis. They weren't aware of what's happening with Brexit. So my document does open up a wider debate to say, yes, you do need the local focus, but we also seriously need a national politicians, 24 of them, to really focus their attention on trying to get the Isle of Man out of the challenges they face over the next 5 years.
OK, Anthony Allen, you say, if elected, you will hold government accountable to their actions, stop wasteful spending by deferring decisions on key projects. Which key projects are you thinking about specifically?
The one that gets mentioned time and time again is the promenade. With £1 million spent on consultancy without a single shovel being lifted to do any work on the promenade.
Okay, so if you were elected then, how would you change that?
I think all the consultancy has been done. I think we need to get on with the job. I would be looking at a project that is not £30 million in total, but much less than that. And for me, I understand that we've got a window, which is probably January, February, through to the start of TT. I would get a proportion, if not all, of the prom resurfaced, probably leaving the tram lines currently in place where they are. And let's demonstrate not only to the local people, but to the visitors and business people coming to the Isle of Man, that we do care about infrastructure and we can get jobs started and finished.
And interestingly, this is something you said in your introduction, no off-island consultancy.
Yes.
So what does that mean? You just rush into decisions? You don't review them at all?
Absolutely not. I think that there are the skills, the experience and the knowledge on island. I've spoken to people today that work at the hospital, for example, and we're using off-island consultancy to tell people on island what to do, and it's completely the wrong conclusion that's being concluded.
Is it always the wrong conclusion?
Not always, and if you look back at the harbour as an example, you know, that's an example of where we did need off-island consultancy, but specifically in terms of the promenade, I don't know how we can justify £1 million spent and nothing has progressed.
OK. Tim Craig, you are extremely critical of the administration of the past 5 years in your manifesto. You accuse them of introspection, inefficiency. You say they're responsible for personal and family struggles. And you say those currently elected have shown an inability to take responsibility for decisions. But as has already been highlighted, it's so easy to criticise from the outside, isn't it? How do you justify those claims?
It's easy to criticise from the outside, but I'm on the inside. I spent 10 years dealing with the people of Onchan. I work in the constituency that I'm looking to represent, and I've spent that 10 years dealing with both our social housing and the people who are outside in the district of Onchan as well. And in all respects, I have found, let me give you an example. Within our social housing, we have gas central heating, and we have just spent large amount of money replacing all those gas boilers. There's over 400 gas boilers just gone in. Every housing transfer and every housing applicant that I house says, oh, please can we keep the open fire, for the simple reason that they can't afford to use the gas for the heating of the house. So what they're doing is burning coal and fossil fuels. This is part of the problem that I'm dealing with, as I say, on a daily basis. People who are coming in to see me and saying, look, we're struggling at the moment. Can
and that's
help?
All national government's fault?
I can't see any other, because the policies that we're being driven by at local level come from national government. They come out of Tynwald and they come from the department. I can give you another one. Department of Health and Social Care have just brought out a consultation on services for older people, and they're wanting to keep older people in their properties longer, which is a good idea in theory. However, from my perspective on social housing, you've got the equivalent of hospital bed blocking, because if people who need to move on out of social housing into care don't move on, then there are people at the other end of the housing waiting list who aren't going to get the house that they need.
Okay, David Quirk, you have said it's very easy to get publicity by constantly criticising government mm-hmm. policy. You believe it's more constructive to work proactively with others in government and make a positive influence from within. What you're speaking now with 10 years of experience in Keys, you've held numerous government posts. How do you convince people around this table? How do you convince Tim Craig that you've done a good job?
I think we'll probably never convince some of the issues that Onchan have, actually, to tell you the truth. But what we've done is, and I wasn't fully supportive of it, it was actually when the DOI minister, I'll use that term, actually devolved services to local authorities. They've been absolutely abysmal, as far as I'm concerned. And
who, the DOI or local authorities?
The local authorities are picking up the tab. And I'll give you a couple of examples.
Oh, I don't accept that.
I'll give you a couple of examples.
Let me give us an example. One example, David.
We had a flood about a couple of months ago. And you've been devolved now the services to look after the drains in the roadways. They sent out a guy with a van with a set of sticks and couldn't even lift the grid up.
Are you talking about Hackens Lane,
you're responsible
David?
For that.
Hang on.
The local authority, Beth. The local authority was devolved the responsibility to do all sorts of different things.
Tim Craig?
When that was devolved, those drains were in a dreadful state. What's been devolved by the Department of Infrastructure?
David, I'll let you finish.
What did you do about it?
Those drains were in a dreadful state.
They were blocked.
And we have had to spend time and effort clearing them. What has been devolved is the jobs that the Department of Infrastructure weren't very good at.
Rob Callister?
This is exactly why we've got to change on the 22nd of September. This is a local issue. Yes, we've got problems with Hackens Lane, and there's some Hackett's Close, there's some drainage issue, and there's some flooding issue. Fully agree on that. I've seen some documents over the last 2 weeks. There are people working tirelessly behind to sort this out before the winter. But come the 22nd of September, this is a national election. And I know David said that, and I'm going to say something I said to Anthony Allen before we came in. He was talking about experience. You could sit at the back of a bus for 10 years. Doesn't make you a driver. I'm sorry.
Julie Edge.
Can I just say that going around the constituents and speaking to some people that are connected with Hackens Lane, it's been a problem for 30 years. Mm. And I think that's a disgrace of government to allow something to go on for that period of time.
I've seen the plans, so. Julie. There are some big plans coming. They're going to try and sort this out. Mm. And I feel sorry for all the residents in Onchan, in the local authority and in Hackett's Close, that have to suffer this. And I can promise...
Why is it when there's an election on that?
No, it's not. I wasn't aware of this. And it's brought to my attention. I've sent emails to Alf Cannon. I've had a response back. I've seen the plans. There is action ahead, and I'm hoping this will happen before the election. And if I'm elected, I, like David and many other people, we'll get it sorted, I promise you.
Well, we've got only a few days. David Quirk, very quickly.
In the manifesto, actually, as the rest of us will be going around, there's actually 20-odd houses, local authority houses, empty at the minute. 20 of them. I've never known that life, that many number, when I was 17 years as a local authority member. Never mind Douglas Corporation have the biggest number of houses.
And you're blaming local authorities for that.
What are you doing about it? This is local.
Let's talk national. Let's talk the economy. Let's start looking at Brexit. Let's look at pensions.
You're devolving services.
Right. David, thank you. Tim Craig.
This falls on my patch, David, and you know as well as
I do.
It's with the commissioners, but as the responsible officer, this falls for me. I'm accountable for that, and I attend a meeting every fortnight where I account in public for what we've done. Now, the issue with those houses is we are transferring people, so it's not the same 20 houses that is vacant all the time that you go around. What you're seeing is best use of the housing stock that we have, so people move down into smaller houses when they're too big and up into houses when they're too small. So
it's interesting, David Quirk, if you're very against people criticising government. You say it's very easy to criticise from the outside, but surely that's just what you're doing the other way around now.
No, what we're saying here, they want devolved services from central government. So the taxpayer.
But you are critical
of the
action of the local authority.
Taxpayer is not. It's coming off the rates.
Wait a minute. You're getting beneficial charges at the Energy from Waste Fund.
No, we're not. But
you
just
are.
Hasn't gone up. That's the problem.
You are
listening
issues.
To Manx Radio's Election 2016 constituency debate, which today is focusing on Onchan. We'll be back just after this.
Manx Radio's 2016 election coverage.
Welcome back to our round the table debate, which today is focusing on Onchan. Worth noting, voters in this area will now only have 2 votes after the boundary changes compared to the previous 3. The candidates here are Anthony Allen, Rob Callister, Tim Craig, Liberal Vernon candidate Julie Edge, and retiring members seeking re-election David Quirk. Now, I've looked at many manifestos over the past few weeks, and I have been playing election pledge bingo. You've all got a full house when it comes to talking about the challenges we face, the need to secure economic growth. What we all want to know is who has the ideas and the plans for action as well as the words. So let's look at some of these national issues, starting with the economy. Julie Edge, Liberal Vernon believes the government's role is to create an economy which allows business to grow. How?
I think that the government needs to make sure there's the infrastructure in place. We need to make sure that our services are of the right quality and that businesses can afford to move to the island. Telecommunications expensive, our freight is expensive to get here.
So what could you do to change that?
Well, I think we need to review the current steam packets. Forgot what it's called. Sorry.
User agreement.
We need to review that, and we need to make sure. I personally believe that the government should have a couple of shares within that, and make sure it goes forward and it becomes part owned by the island, to sort of try and help with the freight costs to the island.
Would you see part ownership as a way forward, Anthony Allen?
For the steam packet, no, in a word. It's an option. I don't think we should come to any decision without a proper review. Having spoken to people that are currently employed with that company and getting their first-hand opinion, I think that going forward we should do the review, explore it as an option, but at the moment I think the steam packet on balance does a good job, but I do think that in terms of the contract, which I'm aware is 4 years away from being renegotiated, we need a better deal for the citizens of the Isle of Man. If that includes a concession fare, that would be one thing to negotiate with the contract. I think the same goes for the airlines. The deals that are currently in place are not good enough for the people of the Isle of Man. Let's get a better deal.
Okay. We've already heard your thoughts on wasteful spending, but you also say as far as the economy is concerned, you want it to be stronger for people, protect public services, support business to grow, generate more jobs, encourage and support a diversified economy.
Yep.
How?
One of the things is that currently the DED offers grants to support businesses. In my experience, the grant system is too bureaucratic. I would streamline that so that we encourage more businesses to apply, more businesses to grow, and these businesses to employ people.
Where are these businesses coming from?
There are a number of different areas that are interested in relocating to the Isle of Man. Some of those are already here. If you look at space as an example, telecommunications, IT, the film industry, there's a whole range of businesses that are looking at the Isle of Man as a possible location. However, we do need to put our own house in order. Telecommunications is behind what it is in the UK and Europe. Our infrastructure is behind what it to the standard that it needs to be to attract business people to invest in the Isle of Man.
The problem is, though, that all these improvements cost money, and where's that going to come from?
All these improvements do cost money, and they're an investment for us to go forward. If we don't make that investment to go forward, we're going to go backwards.
Okay, Tim Craig, you say there needs to be a plan for long-term recovery. So yep. What is your plan?
I said there should be. I don't have all the answers. What we need to do is sit down with a good number of people and work out how we need to do it. What we need to do really, though, is make everybody aware of what the plan is.
But there's not a plan yet. You haven't got any plan.
No, but what Anthony has said is quite right. My view is that we have an untapped resource in developing the digital economy. Admittedly, the infrastructure needs a little bit of work, but by the same token, the digital economy is a large growth area. We always have to have one eye on the future, and within that, and there is film industry. I'm aware because of my children's generation and their sort of contemporaries, what's going on in the world, and an awful lot of them are now involved in various areas in the digital economy, but in the UK or in Ireland. There is no reason why they can't do that work here. We're a well-regulated and independently legislated body, and that should be our selling point.
Rob Callister, you also want to create the right environment for the private sector to thrive. How would you do that?
Well, I think it goes down. The government, as I say, over the next 15 years, the economic success of this island is crucial. And the way they can do that is by making a government that is flexible. It can adapt and change with the emerging markets as they
come. Don't you think they have
forward.
Already shown that they do that?
Well, I don't think so. I think a government that also support business, I think that could be improved greatly. A jurisdiction that's open for business. I don't feel at the moment the Isle of Man is open for business.
So how would you make it open for business?
Well, I think what we've got to do is start by getting our air and sea links. We've got to have a government that can adapt and can change. A government, an island that isn't over-regulated. And as somebody who works in the finance industry, and I've worked there for 18 years, the Isle of Man is over-regulated. And that is the problem. We've got a banking sector that's lost 11 major banks in recent years. If you can't get banking facilities, why come to the Isle of Man to do business? It's a collective, it's a lot of collective. We've got to have good air links. We've got to have a government that adapts and change. A government that supports startups through grants, through support, and not just startups, we're talking about medium companies and then going into the larger companies, and also that supports and creates long-term genuine employment opportunities. It's not just one solution. It's not about just getting somebody for the UK and bringing them in.
David Quirk, there's a lot of things that have been said around the table.
We've
here.
We've already done it, Beth. We have a fantastic link that goes into from the power station into the UK, a fibre optic link. All the cores are not lit. There's a potential for expansion on that. Only this week we've had their interest on ground stations coming in. Now that hasn't happened before. So the government's doing it, and I've been part of that. I've maybe not done it all, but we've been part of that. We put an investment bond out there for 50 million over a set period to grow industry there. We're trying to make sure that those estates that people go to now are actually perfect. They don't want these sheds anymore in the countryside. They want a proper unit.
Julie Edge?
I just feel that the government should be using our own infrastructure to get the investment back to the island instead of having a fibre optic cable that is running into Bispham that corporate people on the island are utilising, and the government is not getting the profit from that.
Well, I would say, with respect to you, Julie, they are.
The Isle of Man.
We don't give the link for nothing.
We've got to start by getting the whole system. We've got to get the air links right. I know it sounds daft, but if business people can't get in and on and off, we've got to get freight costs down.
That's
all
very well, Robert.
We've got
how?
To get banks.
What we've got to
do is start again, because we need to reinvent ourselves. Because at the moment we're over-regulated. We haven't got banking facilities. We've got a golden egg of £50 million. We don't know how that's going to be spent, but it's got to be supporting business. And it's got to generate new business from it.
I mean, to be fair, David Quick, you do say in your manifesto that we need to reduce bureaucracy and barriers to trade.
The bureaucracy, I will give it to the group, actually, is when companies come to the Isle of Man, they need to come a little bit earlier and sort this out, do the checks and balances, who you are, who the company is, who are the directors, where are they from, where's the money come from? They're the issues that we've still got a credit rating, which is great and fantastic.
But it may take that little that bit with longer. Vision 9?
But you've got to do it.
No, we've lost our AAA rating. We've gone down to AA.
We've still got a double A plus.
But if you take local authority again, we'll go back to that. They've had to pay a significant more interest rate because the government never expected to lose its AAA. And that, again, was a total mistake of the Treasury going back numerous years.
Okay, well, let's move on to another national priority, one that no election campaign would be without. That's the issue of health provision. Julie Edge, in your manifesto, you say health funding should never be an issue. Now, ideally not, but it is. How would Liberal Van and sort that out?
I believe the issue at the hospital is with that there's no, you know, there's no management expertise, it appears. We need good governance, it needs to be scrutinised, and we need to ensure that the funding, which I believe it's £298 million to the health service, and we need to ensure that we get an excellent service, and we need to access the centres of excellence at an earlier, you know, so we get early intervention for the people of the island, which will hopefully save in the future.
David Quirk, you, since 2014, are a member of the Department of Health and Social Care, so you've seen it from the inside.
Yeah.
What do you make of what Julie said?
Well, what we did, actually, we actually welded it back together when we split it between two ministers, and that was wrong. And people recognised that, and certainly the backbenchers did, went to the Chief Minister, and I said, probably sold my soul to him, and said, I will take a role in health if you put a new minister in there, which he did, and we've been striving forward all the time. Can I say to you too that we've big strides in health, but what we've got to be careful of too, we can spend money like water if we want to. That's the problem. Sometimes we've
got
to...
You are spending money like water.
We're not spending money like water. What we're doing is making each department accountable. Those members in the department, and I'm one of them in health, I do adult services. We check and balance it all the time. We've got a new chief executive in there. I'm not pushing him up. Came from Treasury. Wow, what a guy. Difference. We've got new management structure in there too. Things are playing together.
So, Julie, the changes are being made?
Changes are being made, but we see a £10 million overspend and a £1.2 million overspend in government catering services. How's that good management?
Well, just on the issues to do with when they put some of the services together, human resources was one. I voted against it, to tell you the truth. The other one, too, was maintenance. I think we need to revisit those because human resources, clogging it all together, became a nightmare with finance. We actually, the best thing we've ever done, actually, is devolved the benefits side into Treasury. So there's an actual link now between those that need it and those that require it.
Tim Craig?
The one thing that I hear on the doorstep on a regular basis is the actual time taken to go off island for consultation appointments, which seem to last no more than 5 to 10 minutes. And it's something that could have been said maybe over the phone. What I would like to see is engagement with a healthcare provider, either in England or Scotland, for video link consultations. That means basically you only sit down in a room and your consultant's at the other end of a TV screen and says, yeah, right, I've seen your results, and that's it. We do that with people now at the prison attending court. There is no reason why it can't be introduced for people at the hospital.
David Quirk, is that workable?
We're already doing that, to tell you the truth. For major things, we're doing scans. We're actually, I know a case where a highly skilled consultant was living on a remote island somewhere, and stuff was sent to him, and he made a diagnosis over the internet. But it is actually happening.
No, the point is, there are still people going off island on aeroplanes for a 10-minute appointment, and that's costing a fortune and taking a lot of time.
Rob Callister, if you're elected, you would request a review of the island's waiting times and availability of NHS dentists, you say. So then what?
Yeah, I think it needs to happen. I think we need an all-round review of our health service. I actually agree with David that I think they've got a fantastic chief executive now in health, and I think they've got the right person for the job, and I have a lot of faith in Malcolm, and I think I've had several meetings with him, and I think his five-stroke plan will work fantastic, and I fully support him. NHS dentists, we've got to improve that because people can't get one. GP waiting times, you shouldn't have to wait 2 weeks to see. And this is what I'm saying, we need a review. But I also know that we have the right person in the position. I'm not saying we've got the right minister, but I think we've got the right chief executive. And I think let's put our faith in him and give him time. I think let's have a look again in a year's time.
Anthony Allen, in your manifesto, you say you want a patient-centred approach. What does that mean?
If I talk about dentistry as an example, we have difficulty in recruiting dentists onto the island. There's a big difference between dentists that are paid to work in NHS and those that work in private dentistry. What tends to happen is dentists will come across initially, go into NHS dentistry, they'll be talking to other dentists that are in private, see that you can earn possibly three times as much money.
Do you know this from experience? Is this hearsay?
This is first-hand experience, and so that's one aspect. If the government want NHS dentists over here, they should tie them into a contract for a period of years. I'm talking about 2 to 5 years, so that they actually stay in that role. So it gives the people of the Isle of Man the opportunity to get good oral health. The other thing is that dentists are paid on the basis of the work that they carry out. This is called a UDA, a unit of dental activity. That ranges between £10 and £25. The government is paying at the lower end, and that needs to be looked at.
Okay. Another issue then, which has we're going to move on, David, just because we're running out of time. Another issue which has been dominating this election campaign is preschools. Now, Rob Callister, interestingly, you say the decision to privatise back in 2012 was extremely disappointing. I'm sure many would agree with you. But in all reality, that was a system there then that wasn't fair either, because not every child of preschool age was guaranteed a place.
It wasn't fair then, and I don't think it's fair now. Yeah. And I think a number of MHKs have picked up that there is a gap between the school and the reception school and primary school, and that's got to close. And what we've got to do is have a continuous stream that a child, the history of a child, is right from birth all the way into school, right the way through until they leave school. And I think that gap in the reception needs to be closed in order to ensure that when they go into proper school, they actually have a full evaluation of what the child's needs are. And that is a serious gap. But I do support the new new sort of figures that have come out.
Well, that's a standard credit of £1,700 a year, which you say should enable a child to attend 10 sessions a week.
Yes.
Again, I'd say it should, but it doesn't, because across the island there is a lack of places. What's the situation in Onchan?
I'm not so sure what the situation is in Onchan, because I don't have any children. But it's
£1,700. But it's clearly going to be an issue with some of your voters.
It is, but it's better than where they were. And that's what's key about this. It was increased, it's got it, but I want a full review of it, because we need to make sure that we have a child has a history. So when it goes into school, it has any difficulties or needs any special attention, that they get that from day one. It doesn't take 2 or 3 years to pick that up. And that's where it's seriously wrong at the moment.
Anthony Allen, you want to see additional preschool places, you say, to help reduce the cost of childcare. But is childcare really the function of preschool?
Not really. But as Rob's answered, you know, where we are in terms of grant on childcare, I'd like to take it to the other end in stopping the brain drain of people that are going off island.
How would you do that then?
I'll give you my proposal for that. My proposal really follows on what Alan Bale said a few weeks ago, where Mr. Bell said that we should encourage new graduates to come back to the island by giving them a cash incentive to do that. For me, that is only half of the answer. The other half of the answer is to give graduates work experience on the island. So I would say...
How would you guarantee that, though?
One of the largest employers on the island is the government. I would put them into government across various departments, and also I would do partnerships with various other businesses.
And increase our wage bill.
We'll come to that in a moment, David. Tim Craig?
The biggest exporter of the Isle of Man for centuries now has been its children. We have to accept that when children leave the island, they are not all going to come back. I have two daughters, both of whom went away to university, got good master's degrees, both of whom now live and work in London. They live and work in London because the jobs that they do and the industries that they're in are focused in London. We have to accept that there will be a drift away. Those graduates, when they have got their experience and they have got the inclination to come back and they see an opportunity, will come back. But don't just send them away to university and then expect them to come straight back like they're on a piece of elastic.
Well, David Quirk?
Isn't that what we're doing now, where we've increased the college itself, the sixth form college up there, with a new engineering facility there, the engineering cluster is booming. What we're very good on the island, actually, is niche market stuff, aircraft components, submarine components.
small components because we can do them with small companies. And they're major. The ones at Triumph Engineering, it's in Onken there. It's a major company in the world. It's about the seventh in the world.
You don't agree with the apprenticeship idea of Anthony, so?
No, the apprenticeship idea is good, but the problem you've got
but
is...
But not within government.
Well, the problem, there's twofold on that, because we've reduced the staff by 800, which causes an impact then on our into pensions. And that we've also then got to increase the wages structure. But at the end of the day, we can't guarantee... We used to do it years ago. We couldn't guarantee the apprentices, when they came out of their 5 years at that time, a job.
Very quickly, Julie Edge.
I'm not so sure David's figures are right with the reduction in numbers in government. I believe that there's a lot of people retired, but they're back on separate contracts earning as much money as they were before they retired.
And something that you would look into if elected?
I think that's something that needs looking into to create employment.
Anthony Allen?
I'm not going to stop people having freedom of choice. And if people want to stay in the UK or work in the rest of the world's now, you know, a small place. What I'm saying is that in terms of investment, if we offer that as an option to people when they qualify with their degree to come back, it's going to be a lot cheaper than importing people onto the island that may not stay on the island, that we're going to have to give relocation grants to and pay them a premium.
Well, but I was just going to say, Ben,
what we've done on students and nurses coming to the Isle of Man, we've actually offered them now. We pay their expenses to come here.
Not if they're Manx, you don't.
Well, we are approaching the end of the programme, so now it's time to hear from each candidate. They'll have a few seconds to sum up why they believe they deserve your vote on September the 22nd. We'll do this in reverse alphabetical order. So first, David Quirk.
Thank you, Beth. And just if I could ask the people of Onken to support me for the future term. I'm always available. I'm always ready to do the work for the constituencies and government as a whole. And at the end of the day, we've got to have politicians that make those conscientious decisions for the future and the next generation.
David Quirk, thank you. Liberal Van and candidate Julie Edge.
I hope that the people of Onken would vote for me because of my experience and expertise in government, managing finances and always being on budget. I have in-depth knowledge of the government structure and I feel that I could be effective quickly. And I have the backup support of Liberal Vannon to follow up issues that need sorting out. I hope I can bring pride and trust back to the government of the Isle of Man if elected.
Juliet, thank you. Tim Craig?
I'm looking for a vote from everybody in Onken to bring accountability back into government. I've demonstrated over the years that I have the skills, the knowledge and the expertise to deliver a really creditable performance in Tynwald. I've got management skills, I've got qualifications, and I think I can bring those now into Tynwald from local government.
And Rob Callister?
On the 22nd of September, the people of Onken and this island will finally get an opportunity to cast a vote for change, both in political direction and representation. I ask the people of Onken to come out and vote for Rob Callister, an MHK who will stand up to the challenges and the uncertainty that the Isle of Man must overcome over the next 5 years.
Rob Callister, thank you. And finally, Anthony Allen.
The Isle of Man needs good people with business experience gained in the bigger world outside the Isle of Man. I have this experience, the skills and the ability to do things faster, smarter and better for you, the people of Onken and the Isle of Man. Decisions that will mean something, make a difference in a positive way for every man, woman and child, young or old. Vote for Allen on the 22nd of September. Put your trust in me and I will serve you to the best of my ability. Always be accessible, giving you 100% commitment.
Well, that brings us to the end of the programme. Thank you for listening to today's Election 2016 constituency debate, focusing on the candidates standing in Onken. In the next programme, Roger Watterson will be talking to those standing in the constituency of Rushen. So until next time, goodbye.